Welcome to War Radio, with your hosts, the Watchman, Dana Smith, and Tower.
Thanks for listening.
Greetings. Welcome to Battle Lines on Warren Radio. I'm Tower, and we are glad you joined us. It's Thursday, the 11th day of April, 2019. And the readings in the Word this week are Leviticus chapter 14, verses 1 through chapter 15, verse 33. 2 Kings chapter 7, verses 3 through 20. And the New Testament portion is Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 80. Also Romans chapter 6, verses 8 through 23. Take time to read the biblical-centered articles by The Watchman. This week we feature Politics and the Writer's Complex, Trump Fodder for Thought, and 2020 is Coming. Many like Alex Baldwin make money provoking people to laugh at President Trump. The contempt is amazing, and yet today 82% of Trump supporters would vote for him again. In addition, he has a rating of 53%. Also, beholding great God, greater things than these. Beholding God means there are greater things than these things which have been seen. As Philip and Nathaniel both encountered the true Son of God, the truth was evident. For the Messiah, Jesus Christ, it would be revealed that he would do greater things than these which had been done. You can listen to Warren Radio worldwide from your PC, Android, Apple device, and many other avenues. Check out the front page on warren-usa.com for our Spreaker embed and links to all the places to listen from, like iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Blueberry, and many others. You can also listen or watch all the shows on the warren-usa.com blog and also from Spreaker on the Spreaker app. Our Battle Lines in-depth study of the Scripture with the Watchman Dana G. Smith. For over 21 years, the Watchman has been teaching, preaching, and warning the generations. And tonight our study continues with Faithful and True Conquerors, Apocalypse, John's Revelation of Jesus Christ, Part 22, on Battle Lines. Faithful and True Conquerors. Everything was fine until he showed up. Faithful and true, Alpha and Omega, the Word of God, Jesus, Yeshua, Christ, arrived on the scene. Now I welcome in the Watchman. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
You're listening to Warren Radio on the WIPR Warren Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warren-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn. Okay, we are here.
How are you doing tonight, Watchman?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
Doing great. What's going on?
That was Bug Chug Acoustic.
That's funny.
Yeah, that was just one of our new ones. And that comes from a source that did our intro thing, and actually I put it together. They just did the voices and stuff, and then I put it together in the intro. But at any rate, we are here on a Thursday, going to be discussing Revelation, and we've got a few new sounds, but not a lot. I mean, main thing here. You know, a lot of years ago, I applied for a DJ job at a radio station.
Yeah, I remember that.
Do you remember that? I figured you would. And it was a country and western station. And so by the time I got done, they said, "You sound more like some soul brother from New York than a country and western guy." Needless to say, they didn't hire me at the time. This was a lot of years ago. But, you know, that's the way it is. So at any rate, what's going on today? Well, it's starting nice again after a big snowstorm. They were supposed to get quite a bit, and the most irritating thing now that they're doing, they're naming all of the snowstorms and stuff that are coming in.
Oh, I know.
They never did that when I was growing up. I didn't care what the name was.
It was snow, and it was a storm.
Yeah.
Sometimes it would be a blizzard. Sometimes it wouldn't be so bad.
Yeah. If it snowed real bad, it was a blizzard, you know, and everything. And if it was
and
just
the wind.
Snow and it's cold. I don't need to know Snow Charlie coming in. I don't want to get that personal. I want him to leave.
Yes, that's true. Well, I was afraid the roads would be really icy this morning because our sidewalks here were a sheet of ice. But they were pretty clear. When I came home for lunch, they were dry, so I was glad about that.
So, at any rate, I'm trying to think. Anything out of D.C., politics?
Huh.
Well, you know, I was, I sent a, there's been a lot of stuff about that Representative
Omar,
you know, the Muslim gal. And she kind of misappropriated the words concerning 9/11.
Boy, I guess.
Totally ignorant. And she is one of the ones that's in Congress now, and she doesn't even know what happened on 9/11, and she wants to represent America. This is a problem. But at any rate, she does represent judgment. And you can find that in Isaiah 4:3, where the Lord said, "I will appoint you princes and put babes ruling over you. Babes shall rule over you." Meaning children, young people. That was a judgment that was actually put on Israel for sin. So anytime you start getting a bunch of babes, kids, and people that really don't know what they're doing, well, that's, you know, remember, wisdom and knowledge comes with age. That's the way it's supposed to work out. Unfortunately, we have a bunch of wet-behind-the-ear people that get up there and think they know everything, and they're already ready to change everything, just like Knucklehead out of New York. And, of course, these are the problems here. You know, we're not interested, you know, in you changing a bunch of stuff. We're not interested in your maybes and your wonderings, and a lot of these people, every other word is global warming and Mother Nature and saving the planet. Well, you can save the planet all you want to, but the Lord is the one that created it, and there's things that are coming, and you ain't going to stop it. And it won't be global warming. It'll be, as Isaiah said in chapter 24, the curse has devoured the earth. The curse, yeah, the one from the Garden of Eden, you know, the one that you don't believe in. That's where a male and a female, another thing you don't believe in, because you don't believe that there's only two genders. If you can believe it today, I actually saw a tweet from somebody who was condemning someone else because they only believed in two genders. And see, there are debates now because, physically there are people who were born morphodites having both genitalia. And, of course, that's the result of the fall as well. And, when you live in a world that you don't acknowledge the Lord and His sovereignty, you know, He's not the one that allowed you to fall. He told you not to do that, and you did it anyway. And
yeah.
So humankind fell. So, that's why Christ came and died on the cross, so you wouldn't have to go to hell. And people, yet, they reject what He sacrificed, and they're going to be in trouble because the Lord flatly told the Jews, unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. And that's just about the way it is.
Yeah.
Whether you like it or not. And so, we've got a big misappropriation of knowledge around here in this country. And that's part of the problem. That's my drum.
What are you doing with that?
The chords on my guitar.
Oh.
My guitar, I'll explain it one day.
Yeah, good idea.
You think?
Mm-hmm.
So at any rate, we got a lot of things going on around here. A ton of things we're not going to get into, but a lot of stuff's going on around here. And yet our websites, thanks to the Lord and a lot of other things we're managing, for many years to pump out articles, shows, videos, gospel. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Thank God.
It's there all the time, and we're always having articles and stuff on Twitter 24/7 and on our other social sites all the time. And so it's a self-consuming machine. We've got our websites working all the time, and they're producing and publishing and doing things, and I'm writing articles, and we just go churning it out. And it goes around the world, and that's what we're doing, and that's what we do. And so one day it's all going to come to an end, so you're not going to have forever. That's the trouble with men and women. They think they got forever.
I know.
You do. You just think, that's a long ways away. I remember when Tower and I were married, and we met a couple had been married for, what was it? Was it the 25-year or the 5-year? But at any rate...
25.
It was a long way off.
Yeah, we never thought, wow, that's long ways.
Yeah, that was just like, oh dear, that's just like, oh, I can't even go there. 25. Now we're way, way past that.
Yes, we are.
So, it's kind of, when we tell you that, just like the scripture says, it's like the flowers are here today and gone tomorrow,
That's the way life is, too.
Yeah, pretty soon, we already got, all of our early rising plants that are out of the ground, and, by fall, they're all going to be gone. And that's the way it is.
Sad, sad.
Yeah. Some of our other stuff, our calendula and marigolds, they haven't even begun yet. But a lot of our others are. And come to think of it, we got some stuff we got to plant, too.
Oh, I know. We got a lot of stuff to do.
I forgot about all that stuff. But we're kind of preoccupied at the time with some issues here, so... Well, wherever you are, we hope that you're doing well. And if you're an American living in America, as the stomach churns is a daily show we see played out on the liberal media. And it's between the liberal Democrats, who are really liberal, the conservative Democrats are keeping quiet. And then there's the Republicans. Half of them don't even know whose side they're on. And then there's Congress, who just...
they're against everybody that's American.
Well, you know, one thing about it, Mitch McConnell...
I meant the House, not Congress.
Yeah. Mitch McConnell, what did he say today? He was making a stand. He said as long as he was Speaker, that wasn't going to even come into play. It's something the Democrats were trying.
Hmm. Well, good for him.
Yeah. You know, I've kind of wondered about him a time or two.
Have you?
Yeah, whether or not, you know, he's able to really do that that job. But, you know, they were trying to get some judicial appointments okayed.
Hmm.
So at any rate, we'll have to see how that works. And, well, you know, where are we at? We're in the 11th. I'm glad it's not any further down the road, but this weekend it'll be the 15th, you know.
Yeah, I know. The middle of the month already. Good grief.
You know, so, you know, time just don't slow down. And,
I know.
We've been working on a project here, something that occurred, and, it just do not want to cooperate. I've got a... There you go. That was my frog. Hopefully that'll work.
Kind of sounded like a sick frog.
Well, it was actually a little thing to keep my mic up out of the way.
So what else is happening?
Well, what else is happening? I want to go fishing.
Yeah.
But we've got a lot of stuff we got to do first. We got some very pressing issues here that we got to take care of, so that'll be something we got to do.
Yeah, it'll be taken care of this weekend. With God's grace.
Yeah. Remember, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, Paul said.
That's right.
He was actually talking to, who was it, the Colossians? Either that or the Philippians. I can't remember which. But that's something you need to remember. I can do all things
through
Christ.
That's right. When you get discouraged and down.
Yeah. But of course, you got to believe it.
Yeah. God will never leave you nor forsake you.
Yeah. I'm trying to think here. At any rate, we got a number of issues, number of things that we're doing. Here's another one of those things. Let me see what this is. I got to control this here. Listen to this. Now that's just a sample. That is, it sounds kind of like Down in the Islands, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not sure about that one.
Yeah, it has a good jazz to it. I like it. I like island music. Yeah, that's a little bit wild, that one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, at any rate, those are produced from people from around the world, but the gal that owns the site, she's from way over yonder, quite a ways away. But at any rate, you know, if you get on some of these programs, they do have a lot of music like that, a lot of different things. I don't really use a lot of that unless I want to wake the listeners up. Hey, you still out there? Don't fall asleep. Then yeah. Play that thing. That'll wake them up.
That's right.
But, so at any rate, we're going to, let me see if I can find this. We've got to get going on this.
Okay. Sounds like a good plan.
So, we'll see you on the other side.
Okay.
We are faithful and true conquerors. This is our latest episode of Revelation, John's Revelation. We call it the Apocalypse, which it is. The unveiling, the revealing. of Jesus Christ, Part 22. And, you know, it's just like sin and iniquity, you know, along with the devil, all seem to just keep plugging along until the Lord shows up. You know, well, everything was fine until he came. Yeah, you just thought you were God. Yes, I'll tell you, a lot of the people and all their little programs and everything they're doing is not going to really go anywhere. And so we've been... in Revelation. And I think we're in the chapter 20. And this is where it really gets to the fun part of Revelation. That's a storm warning here. Unless they're doing a
Alert
test.
Gregory Marks, 1-year-old male. Vehicle silver Ford Expedition template.
Can you believe that? Child abduction. Gregory Marks, 1-year-old male. A silver Ford Expedition. Temporary plates. He must have been the one. They've sure got that one down. Well, sorry about that, but you know, life goes on. And Gregory Marks, Lord help find that kid. Could be his dad. You know, you can't do that anymore if you have a kid and you run off with him. That's kidnapping, and they'll throw your butt in jail the rest of your life. I do have some scriptures out of Zechariah 14 I want to do. And Zechariah 14 is really a good one. You need to get at the beginning of Zechariah. This is verse 5, and it says, "You shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azal. Yea, you shall flee, like as you fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with him." Now it's at this point. This is during Jerusalem in the battle. For Jerusalem. There's been a lot of battles for Jerusalem. But this is the one connected when the Lord is coming. And this is why we know this is prophetic and it's yet to come. And so when we're talking of dealing with prophecy in the end of days, Zechariah 14 is really a good one to look at. And of course, by the time you get to verse 5 in Zechariah 14, and there's a couple of other portions of Zechariah that we look at as well. But basically, Jerusalem, of course, is surrounded, and they have been taken. Most of the city has been taken, but not all of the city. And the Lord comes with all the saints, and there's going to be a tremendous earthquake that's going to separate this open, and people will be able to flee out of there. But not all of them are leaving. Matter of fact, there will be a number of them that will stay and fight, and in fact, it will turn against them and turn against those who have invaded. And verse 6 it says, "It shall come to pass that day the light shall not be clear nor dark." Now this is another important thing when we talk about that day. You know, when this battle occurs and the Lord is coming with all the saints. So this of course means that we would have to have been, as you say, taken out of here. Many people refer to it as the rapture. So we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if the Lord's going to come with all the saints, then all the saints have got to be there. Wouldn't you agree? Yes, that would probably be the thing. So when this battle occurs, and of course this is during the culmination of the tribulation. This is after the wrath of God as well. And of course, you could even tie this in with the end part of the wrath of God, because the Lord's coming to put down the enemies. And so the day that he's going to come, it's not going to be light, it's not going to be dark. Now, if you've ever been up in Alaska or clear up north, the sun, especially, you know, when we get in the summertime, it never gets dark, it's light. So you have a hard time trying to sleep. Now, I remember when we were up in Alaska, Tower and I, many, many years ago, we actually got to a point to where we had gone to a movie show, and we got out of that show, I think, about 11 o'clock at night, and it was daylight out. So it's really kind of weird if you're not used to it. And then, of course, in the wintertime, you have 6 months of darkness, which would really be tough. But this particular day that the Lord comes is going to be one that's not light and it's not going to be dark. And the thing that we have it likened to, of course, is the fact that it's not going to be light or dark. It's going to be kind of like the only thing we have to compare it, with is Alaska, for instance. And it goes on to say, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but shall come to pass that at evening it shall be light. Totally different. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them towards the former sea, and half of them towards the hinder sea, and summer and winter shall it be. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth, and in that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one. This is after he's already set up. And all the land shall be turned as plain from Geba to Rimmon south of Jerusalem, and it shall be lifted up and inhabited in her place, from Benjamin's gate unto the place of the first gate unto the corner gate, from the tower of Hananel unto the king's wine presses. And men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. Now, Jerusalem hasn't been safely inhabited for a long time. I think the last time was David. This thing just don't want to stay. I'm going to have to move it again. But at any rate, it'll be safely inhabited. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Now see, this is when he's coming. Now you've gotten a little bit of a summary, but then Zacharias stops to tell you that when he comes, he's going to set up a kingdom. It's going to be, it's not going to be day and it's not going to be night, but at nighttime, it will be light. So in other words, it's just going to kind of stay the same, the whole thing. The people are going to be escaping, but there's going to be people coming against Jerusalem. And the Lord is going to do this, and this shall be the plague. The Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet. Their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. Now see, and I like to go through this because When you look at this, and of course going through the 60s and everything, we used to have the, duck and cover when, that was the height of the Cold War, and we had little drills. You'd crawl under your desk in case of a nuclear blast, which wouldn't do any good at all. They're just trying to make you feel good, duck and cover, get down. It just, if you have a, the aftermath of something, there ain't nothing left. But see, one of the things we know is that in a heavy nuclear blast, we know that the flesh literally melts off the skin, off the bones, and the eyes, of course, melt away in their sockets, and the tongue consumes away in the mouth, just all instantly, all at once. And, of course, a lot of people, when talking prophecy, they say, well, this will be the culmination, will be a nuclear blast. Well, I'm going to give you another one. There's one thing that the Lord did with Moses. He protected him with his hand because no man has looked upon God and lived. That's scripture. And so when Christ came, of course.
Google Calendar says, notification, remnant battle lines at Thursday.
Well, I can't wait for them to get robots. This happens to be Cortana. She's a pain in the royal. And it comes because we have an account with Google. And they have one too. So whenever I get something from Google, their little monstrosity talks. And somehow it's connected. Cortana works with them. And, well, it's a big pain. So, yeah, we can't wait for robots. So let's get back to this. So, you know, people there, all this flesh and eyes, tongue, everything's going to consume away. And the problem of it is, when we look at that, that's really not what this is about. I mean, it could be, but I doubt it. The reason being, if there was a nuclear blast, it would absolutely have destroyed Jerusalem as well. That's not what this is. You know, when the Lord comes as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, those who are with him, there's one promise that we have as Christians, that when we see him, we will be changed instantly. We will become like him because we shall see him as he is. That's because we have received him, we've accepted him, we've walked in his light, we've repented, and we are his children, and we're instantly transformed. That's scripture. Whether you like it or not, that's scripture. So the saints are coming with him, and but yet there's still people in Jerusalem. And at this time, when we have all this put together and he shows up, all the wicked that are trying to do wickedly will take one look at him and they will melt just like this. This will be because they're in the presence of the glory of God, because no man can look upon God and live. Because he, the minute you see him like that, you will immediately melt. Now, in the spirit now, when you die and you stand before him at the great white throne judgment, you won't be flesh, you will be spirit. And God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And all flesh, once they die, that's the second death, they will be before him at the great white throne judgment. And there won't be any flesh to consume away, there will be the spirits, because God created all spirits. He is the Father of spirits. And when you die as a Christian, you die as a spirit that's been redeemed, and God is going to put you in a glorified body so that you can be just like Christ said, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. So in Zechariah 4:12, when it talks about this, this is what I see here, that when he shows up, no man can stand before God and live. They can't look at him. And this is one of the judgments. He'll take one look at him, and they will perish instantly. Now, of course, the devil has it in his mind that he's going to make it through, that he's going to win. And he's going to convince everybody, and Revelation is very clear about that, through demonic signs and wonders, to convince people to follow him, the nations, and they're going to surround Jerusalem of all places. But see, he wants Jerusalem because that's the center of everything. This is where God wants to live. He says it in the Torah, you know, in the Tanakh. And so these are the things that you can't deny. So he's going to get everybody around, get them fooled, and they're going to instantly be destroyed. Now, there will be people within Jerusalem that won't be destroyed. Why? Because they didn't come against Jerusalem. This is only for those that armies that are standing around against Jerusalem. And it shall come in that pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them, and they shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. And Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the heathen round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in great abundance. And so this is really the battle that it's describing, that, you know, Jerusalem, part of Jerusalem is going to be taken. But when the Lord comes back, and we have all this, he's going to come back at a time when they're all going to be fighting in order to stop this particular thing going on. And so, the Jews are going to be fighting for Jerusalem, the Arabs and all the others are going to be fighting to kill them and to destroy them. So this is pretty much where we're at. And so in the long run here, we can see this battle, this glorious battle. Jerusalem's totally surrounded. They're totally outnumbered. There's no way Jerusalem is going to make it through it. And right at the point when they're starting to take the city and the Jews are losing, and I mean people are rising up and look like the end of the world. Now this is the scenario that Zechariah paints. And that there's going to suddenly come a huge earthquake and people that are dying, and especially the kids and the women are going to flee with the kids, and they're going to leave out the back to get out of Jerusalem, where you have the Mount of Olives, you have all this, and the Lord's going to come and stand there, and there's going to be a big earthquake. But he's going to come with all of his saints, and at the same time, he's going to look, and he's going to pronounce a judgment on all of those, and that's just going to be appearing and looking at them, and they're going to be gone. And it says, "And this shall be the plague of the horses, and of the mule, the camel, and the ass, and of all the beasts that shall be in these tents as this plague. And it shall come to pass that every one that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles." Now see, this Feast of Tabernacles, it's really a celebratory feast. And of course, the children of Israel built little sukkahs, or little tabernacles, when they left Egypt. And of course, when they came before Mount Sinai, eventually they did have the tabernacle, and then they had the temple that it became to be. But this is when the Lord comes to tabernacle in Jerusalem. He's going to set up as the greater son of David. He's going to sit on a throne and rule and reign for 1,000 years. And there is going to be the Feast of Tabernacles. That's one of the feasts that's going to be. And it's going to be worldwide. Now this is the prophecy of Zechariah. And a lot of his stuff matches with Revelation as well. And so it's good to match them both up and put it. And so this is why when we look at tabernacles, which is in the fall, it is a celebratory feast because it looks forward to the time when the Lord will tabernacle among us. But see, the Feast of Tabernacles even has more types than that, because we are in his body. He is in us. We are in him. There's the body of Christ. That's another tabernacle. We all tabernacle together in Christ and in the Father. But there's going to come a time when he is going to literally tabernacle on this earth at Jerusalem in the temple. And he will be the greater son of David. He will fulfill that role. He will also be the Almighty, the Alpha and Omega. And he will rule and reign for 1,000 years this way. Now, of course, when I say that, there's a lot of other interpretations here. There's a lot of people that believe totally different things. And I can't help that. That's just what they do. But when we look at Scripture, when we look at this, these really do fit in here when we look at Zechariah. Now we're in chapter 20 of Revelation. "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Now, of course, here we get the name of Satan. He's the dragon, the serpent, the devil, and Satan. So Satan, all the same name, Satan, dragon, serpent, the devil. And, of course, he's also, the one who gives the beast the power. The beast is actually incorporated with his power. And of course, this is the good day on Earth here, except unless you followed this guy, you know, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And it's really hard to believe that he's going to be loosed again. And there is a reason for that, why he will be loosed. Because there are those that are in the earth during the tribulation that are not going to die during all of this stuff. And there's also going to be a bunch of them that are going to be the kids that were never forced to take the mark, and they grow up. And so they're going to learn this new life, but they're still not serving the Lord. And I'm just giving you one interpretation of this. So the devil is loosed for one last time at the end of the 1,000 years to tempt those who were left, and he manages to get an army and go against the city of God again and encircles it. And at that time, they're instantly destroyed. So when we talk about the end of days, it's really kind of when we get the whole thing in here. You know, I mean, you only have so many chapters in Revelation, but it just covers a huge time period. And, you know, that's why Revelation is so prophetic and so mysterious. And any time we as humans think we know absolutely everything there is to know about Revelation, you know, that's when we fool ourselves. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that do believe they know absolutely everything, every little detail. They got everything mapped out. And a lot of people believe them. But, you know, prophecy has always been signposts along the way. It's not meant to guide your every step. He guides your every step through His Spirit and through the Word of God. But prophecy gives us highlights of some of the things that are coming. And so this is when I look at Revelation, I look at this, at the high points, how it covers throughout history. So at any rate, verse 4, and I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark on their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now this is important because the whole issue about getting through of this is the fact of Revelation 12:11. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb, meaning that they're truly born again through the Lamb and the process of redemption. The word of their testimony, like the Lord said, you know, whosoever confesses me before men, I'll confess him before the Father and his angels. Whoever denies me, I'll deny him before the Father's and his angels. So Revelation 12:11, they overcame, past tense, by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, loved their lives not unto the death. This is the last days. This is the very last event on earth, a long event. And it is very, 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 very particular in who makes it and how they make it. You know, you're not going to take the mark and expect to live forever. You will incur the wrath of God. There's a lot of movies out there, you know, once you take the mark and then you repent and the mark goes away and all this. No, you don't take it, you know, even unto death. You don't take it, you know. And of course, there's a lot of people that don't serve God now. And Tower and I, over these years, have talked to him. Oh, yeah, we know all about it. You know, when that happens, we'll come to the Lord and do this. No, you won't. Because Scripture says, whoever is not written in the Lamb's book of life will take the mark. They will. So you need to get into the Lamb's book of life by receiving him and following him. And just read, you know, 1 John 1. That thing in there, tell you about walking in the light. You can read John chapter 1 John chapter 3, John chapter 10 through chapters 18. You can read Romans 3 through Romans 10. These will all give you background about all of this. Now, the views on the millennium. Now, this is some of the typical what people believe. That these are the views. There's the premillennialists. They believe that there will be a literal thousand-year reign of Christ immediately following the tribulation. Now, I believe that the Scripture says that. I don't go in, you know, say, well, I'm a premillennialist, or I'm a post, or I'm a this, or I'm a rapturist. I'm not. I'm in the Word of God. That's what I am. The Word of God says that, so that's why I believe it, not because I'm a premillennialist. Postmillennialists believe that Christ accomplished the thousand-year reign through the church, which shall be fulfilled prior to his return, believing that Christ cannot return until the full reign of Christ through the church takes place. Now, this was really, really popular. Matter of fact, this is one that the Catholic Church really pushed, and they probably still do, but this is really what brought it to the fruition, even during the Crusades, and stopped the Muslims. And, you know, they had that thought. But see, there is some major problems with postmillennialists and this particular thinking that it's going to be accomplished through a thousand-year reign through the church. You know, there's just no way that they're going to rule and reign like that. But the church has had tremendous influence. Matter of fact, if it hadn't been for the Roman church standing up, along with those out of Europe who went with them and fought the Muslims, all of Europe and all of the Middle East, the known world, would have all been Muslim at the time. It was because of that fight that they stopped the Muslims dead in their tracks. But they're still trying to do this today. So then the amillennialists, this means no millennium, meaning taking its name from the denial that there will be a special golden age of literally a thousand years, either before or after the return of Christ. And most of them see Revelation 20 as symbolic. Now see, I don't believe that at all. Revelation, when you can take it literally, you take it literally. And you can also get some of this, like we were in Zechariah, and he was saying those that are left of the nation are going to have to come up and to the Feast of Tabernacles. So, you know, Zechariah was clearly pointing out a period of time here when Christ comes back with all the saints with him. So this indicates that he is coming back, that he is going to be here, and he is going to reign, and Zechariah clearly states that. Revelation clearly states that. So based upon those, you know, this is what you do. But, you know, the bottom line of it is, you know, whether you believe it or not, really don't mean anything at all, because the bottom line of it is, do you know him, and are you repentant, and are you a child of his? And the other fact of it is, you have to love one another within the church. We must love one another, for by this shall they know that we are the children of God, that we love one another. And so this is really what the test is here, because whatever happens is going to happen. And if you're his saint, you're going to be raptured up along with him, and you're going to be in that kingdom whether you believe it's going to take place or not. That's the way it is. This has, God knows that, you know, he knows your flesh. He knows that, matter of fact, you know, his mercy towards you is that way because he knows who you are. He knows how perishable we are. You always see written on produce and everything else, perishable, you know, or be fragile, you know, very handle carefully, fragile. Well, that's the way the humans are. They don't realize it, but we are very, very fragile. And we're the only species, I think, that is the top of the food chain. We're supposed to be smarter than any other creation, and yet we do more to kill one another and slaughter one another and take advantage of one another than any other species. And we are totally abhorrent in that. It's just absolutely unbelievable. I believe man, you know, because of the way God created man, has a lot of potential. And even today, there's people that do good. But yet, we fall so short You know, we are a creation that can do so much good, but yet we do so much evil. You have the yin and yang of the human life. You know, you have the one side, you know, we can be so good, and the other side we can be so evil and abominable. And so this is where the choice is. You know, the Lord told Israel, you know, you get into Deuteronomy 29 and 30. Read that section in there. And the Lord says, choose life or choose death. It's up to you. I give you the choice. And it's basically a choice to serve God. And the same choice as today about Christ. He gives you a choice to come to Him, to serve Him, to walk in His way. And he even gets to the point in the last chapter of Revelation, you know, and he says, he that is wicked, let him be wicked still, and he that is holy, let him be holy still. And it goes through several comparisons like this. And the point is, there's going to be those that are righteous and those that are wicked there to continue, because God is going to, you know, His Son's going to come. By this, He's the Almighty. And He's going to reward every man according as his work shall be. And, you know, we're well aware of the darkness that's going to be here. Perilous times, Paul calls this age. The Lord said, because, you know, sin and iniquity will abound, the love of many will wax cold. Paul spoke in 2 Thessalonians 2 of this lawlessness and the rise of the son of perdition, and that they will reject the love of the truth, which is the gospel, and they will believe a lie that's sent to them because they have rejected the truth. And this is where you're at today. And we are cruising through this old world at a fast rate, and none of us really know how far away this is. There's people that think they know. I don't sit here and think about, you know, exactly how far in the future He's coming. I do what God's called us to do, and I trust Him every day, and when He comes, He's here. But Tower and I, years and years and years and years and years ago, every day we felt He was coming. We still feel He's coming. That's just the way it is. And then here it says, but the rest of the dead, this is verse 5, lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that takes part in the first resurrection on some such. The second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now this is where all the saints are going to be, because they're part of that first resurrection. There's not going to be, you know, the saints that have died in the Lord over all the years, they'll be resurrected. They will come, but... you know, there was an old belief years ago that everybody would sleep in the ground and there would be a resurrection and both the righteous and the dead would suddenly appear before God. But see, the bottom line of it is that the dead in Christ will rise, and then those who are alive will be going up too when He calls us all to join Him in all the saints. The second death is when everybody who died in their sins are going to pay the penalty. See, because the penalty is you shall die, and that's this body that you live in. And then the only way to redeem the soul is through Christ. And it's the soul, the spirit, who you are, is what lives. Now in verse 7 it says, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Now, I think it's so interesting that they actually found a place to keep this thing. That he's actually bound up for 1,000 years and he can't get out. I mean, of course, it's not like a prisoner going to give him food and water. This entity doesn't need it. He's an eternal spirit. He's a being. He's evil. And shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. Now, this is not Armageddon here. This is after the 1,000 years. This is after there's been 1,000 years of Christ ruling with a rod of iron, where we will be with him as kings and priests unto God. And it will be a time of peace. It'll be a time of the healing of the nations. A lot of things will be different during this time in the millennium. And if you get into various portions of the Bible, you can read about some of this stuff. And of course, one of the things when we look at this, we say, well, why would the Lord allow Satan to be loose? And I spoke about this a little, but, you know, you have all these people that are here. But this is one last time to prove the character of those generations of men and women born during the millennium. And those, of course, you know, that were alive, that were left of the nations as well. And of course, during this millennium, you're not going to have the devil there. He's not going to be tempting anybody. And mostly it'll be the sins of men on their own. See, now this is another thing that you have to understand. Today we have the devil that works to deceive and works to tempt men. But men and women on their own, even without the devil, can get in trouble. They have a propensity for sin. Because, you know, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And again, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Now that's the sentence for mankind. But Christ came to redeem us from this law of death, this penalty, because of our fall. We had violated what God had said. And so now, when you get during this millennium, there's going to be people born. Matter of fact, it says of this time, the babies will be 100 years old. You're talking of a totally different thing here. Things are going to be remade. You're not going to be dying early. You're going to be living. It'll be a different age totally in this thing. And it's hard to incorporate exactly how it can be on the earth, how he can be here ruling, and how we can do. Are we going to have planes? Are we going to have a lot of stuff? Well, the saints of God aren't going to need your planes. They're not going to need technology. Everything will be ended. It'll be a different kind of a kingdom. But yet, Satan's going to be able to get people, and they're going to join and come against him. Because guess what? At this time, not everybody's going to be living in Jerusalem. They're going to be living around the world, like they always have. And of course, at this time, people that worried about global warming, you don't have to worry about global warming because it's not global warming, it's the curse. By now, the curse has ended. And nine, and they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And, you know, Zechariah 9:8 says, I will encamp about my house because of the army, because of him that passeth by, and because of him that returneth, and no oppressor shall pass through them any more, for now have I seen with my eyes. Zechariah 9:15 says, the Lord of hosts shall defend them, and they shall devour and subdue with sling stones, and they shall drink and make a noise as through wine, and they shall be filled like bowls, and as the corners of the altar. And these scriptures I put in here, and another one, 9:16, the Lord their God shall save them in that day as the flock of his people, for they shall be as the stones of a crown lifted up as an ensign upon his land. And so they'll be special to him. And this will be, and of course this talks his land. This, of course, is would be Jerusalem and the whole area there, all of the land that he had promised them. But this illustrates that the Lord does defend, that he always purposed to defend. And this is exactly what is really going to happen. And it's, you know, you think of this, you've got to get out of the mindset of normalcy. You are in a time now of supernatural times, a time when you have the greater Son of David who is promised, and he is the Son of God because he is the Son of David, but the line that came down. And number 10, let's read this, verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. Now see, they were already thrown in there. Now this shows you the dichotomy here, okay? The one behind the beast and the false prophet is the devil, Satan. Now the devil and Satan is an eternal being. And he's going to be locked up to do his work again for the purpose of God, to tempt people and to make sure that there's no sin left in the camp, to use something from the Old Testament. So the beast and the false prophet, who were empowered by, the devil, their way, their reward is in the lake of fire. It's hard to believe. You have 3.5 years when you see the beast and the false prophet. You have 3.5 years. That's all the time they're going to have to rule and reign and be the top of the food chain. After that, they're going to go into the lake of fire. The devil, however, he's got an extra 1,000 years, plus a few days. And then he's going to be thrown into the lake of fire. And then death and hell will be thrown into the lake of fire. And, of course, this is all, and this is right here next to the great white throne judgment. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, and from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. So by the time you get to this, you think of a flat plain. I mean, think of the heavens. Think of everything that, everything just disappeared. I like to think that there's a little scenario. Tower and I used to talk about this many, many years ago. You take a room in a great big mansion, and you go in and the room's dark, you flip on a light, and in the middle of the room there's this little itty-bitty ball. That little itty-bitty ball is Earth. And the one coming to the room is God. That's our universe. But he's outside of that universe. Everything is encompassed in him. So everything's going to disappear. I mean, your heavens, your earth, everything. And you're going to be standing before the great white throne judgment. Now, many, many years ago, and I don't talk about this much, but when I had my full vision, I was standing in a white place. The greatest light I've ever seen. Everything was white. There was no corners. There was no nothing. It was white. Brilliant. And then I was given other visions, and I could see from there. They just appeared. And the voice was there. And so you think, when you get into this, when you get into this particular avenue where the Lord suddenly, the great white throne judgment, I mean, everything that you know is gone. You're a spirit. You have no control over where you're taken or what you're doing. You are being brought before the King of Kings. You are being brought before to stand for those things you've done in this body. God had sent his Son to redeem you, but you rejected that. This is what this one is. This is the second death. This is because of the curse that happened so long ago and the result of people rejecting that and loving darkness more than light. Now, the Lord warned about that after John 3:16. You read the rest of that, and he will tell you in that, saying that they won't come to the light because they love darkness more. So in this particular thing, the second death, the books become opened. This is not the book of life. This is a book where the dead will be judged according to their works written therein. And then another book is opened, which is the book of life. That's now the saints are not dead here. They've already been in heaven. They've already returned with the Lord. They've already been glorified. This is the second death. We don't have any, this won't have any power on us whatsoever. And in Daniel is really an interesting thing. Daniel's chapter 7, 9 through 11. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit. Now this is the Great White Throne Judgment. And did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. In a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands and thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. And I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. I beheld even until the beast was slain, and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. So he saw the beast, the devil, being thrown into this particular flame, which is the lake of fire. In Daniel 7:13 it says, And I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him. Now see, this is before all time. See, Daniel is seeing this stuff. This is amazing that he saw this vision. He saw this original thing where God had given him all of this. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Now that's the Lord's kingdom. That's him. That's the one who died on the cross for our sins. And he came. And to me, I find this just amazing. In Psalm 69:28, it says, Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, and not be written with the righteous. Now, this is an Old Testament thing. And, of course, this is before our covenant today with the Lord and the cross. But there was a book of the living. And even today, the Jews do, the book of the living. And in some of the feasts, they celebrate it. And they celebrate it, you know, for the book of the living for the next year. To be able to live a good life and do a lot of things. But this book of the living... and not be written with the righteous is, there was always a dichotomy between those who were wicked and those who were righteous. And if you go through the Proverbs, if you go through Psalms, you will see the dichotomy very clearly there. And of course, the law was given in order to show them the difference. And of course, then there was the shedding of the animal's blood, which is a foreshadow of the coming of Christ and his blood being shed. It took his blood in order to make it permanent. Animals, the blood of bulls and goats, could not take away sins permanently like the Lord. In Daniel 12:1, at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble. Now, this is speaking, you know, of what we would call the tribulation. And Israel, of course, the Jews, speak of Jacob's trouble. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found in the book. Now, of course, there again, we're talking... about the book, and so this is important, and through Christ we're put in that book automatically. Philippians 4:3, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are written in the book of life. That's Revelation 3:4-5. This is the book of life of the Lamb. This is where our names are today through Christ when we have received him. It's in that book of life. And it says, verse 4, it says, Thou hast a few names, even as Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Now, Sardis was a church that was condemned, but I've tried to point out in a lot of these churches that God always, there were always people within those churches that didn't you know, they weren't like the rest of the church. There were people that weren't like that. And this is what this is pointing out. There's a few names, even in Sardis, that did not defile their garments. Even in Babylon of old, the Lord called his people out. And in Mystery Babylon, when the Lord talks about the judgment on that, he says, come out of her, my people. And so within all of this, the Lord is calling us out, calling us to be separate, calling us to another kingdom. See, that is what Revelation is. Revelation is the unveiling and the revealing of the kingdom of the Son of God, the greater Son of David, the Almighty, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. It is him who is going to rule and reign. And the revelation, the unveiling, is not about all the judgments, although that is in there. It's not about a lot of the stuff that we make it out to be. It's about what is coming, who is coming, and what we're doing. As Paul the Apostle said, through much tribulation do we enter into the kingdom of God. And when you get into the last days, when you see what God is doing, and when you see the tribulation, you see the patterns. God is going to reward the wicked, even in the wrath of God, tribulation, blood for blood, you know, because they had shed so much of the blood of the saints and the prophets, and of all men on earth. They just killed anybody they wanted to. ISIS did that. Dear God in heaven, this is what it's about. There is a God in heaven that is going to hold people accountable. You know, there is a difference between the Muslim God and the Muslim idea and the true and the living God. See, this Muslim God, you have a lot of those that follow the Quran, and you've got imams, and their whole total thing is to fight the unbeliever. And in the Quran, it does, you know, it talks about that. That's what, you know, the Crusades were all about. But the Crusaders didn't crusade until the Muslims rose up, Muhammad rose up, and, you know, they went pillaging and killing and murdering, all to get people, you know, as Muslims. Well, see, if you look around the world, you're going to find out that's what it's about, even in the Sharia law. Make people mind, make people do it so they can become a Muslim. Force them into the kingdom. Conquer them if you have to. That's what ISIS was all about. But our God is not like that. He sent his son to die on the cross for your sins. He's different. He's a loving God. And there's no reason for you to perish because Christ died for you. And all you have to do is receive him. There is a difference. But yet one day he will come back to requite blood for blood, rejection of his love. He's going to give you what you wanted. You didn't want his love. You didn't want his forgiveness. So you get his wrath. You didn't need it. You had a chance, but you rejected it. Revelation is about that. It's about truth. It's what's really going to happen. There is going to be a king, and there is going to be a kingdom, and you're not going to inherit all of the earth and all of the heavens ever after by killing and murdering and raping and being wicked. You must repent. You must walk in him. You must know the Christ, the Son of God, for he's the one that came and died for your sins. In Revelation 12, John said, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." And, you know, the thing of it is, you know, they're going to stand there, and they're not going to be able to yell and scream at God at this point. They're going to be spirits. They're not going to be comfortable. They know that they will have been sinners by now. And also, there will be a full audience in the court of justice. Every saint, everyone that has been redeemed will be there. It will be before all of heaven, all of the angels. They will come and God will judge them one by one. And he will talk to them. And they're not going to say, "But God, you did this and you did that." They're not going to do that. They're going to be found guilty, every one of them. But he will show them in this book of life where their names would have been. There was always a place for them, but they're not going to have that because they rejected it. One thing I like in Revelation 3:5, it says, "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." Revelation 22:19, "And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city from the things which are written in this book." So there is a book of life, and there is a blotting out. And there is a time that you have to understand that God's a loving God, but he's a just God. And you have to make up your mind and your heart exactly who you are going to serve. "And the sea gave up the dead which were in them, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire," and this is the second death. Now this is the second death, and I love this part. Death and hell are going to be in the lake of fire. So you're going to find Satan, all of his minions, everybody that rejected Christ, and you're going to find death and hell in the lake of fire. Now see, you may go through a lot of troubles and a lot of trials, but the outlook is eternal. We don't look here at things that are temporal, we look to the eternal. And all the problems we face here are temporal, temporary. But our glory with Christ is forever. And it's because of what he has done and us being justified through the grace of God, which flowed out of his mercy flowed out of his love, and his love given to mankind, and the Son of God who gave us his love by dying for us, allowed us to have hope and redemption. Paul describes it like this in 1 Corinthians 15:23 through 28. "But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, and afterward they that are Christ at Christ's coming." Now, of course, this is all those that have been redeemed. "Then cometh the end when he shall deliver up the kingdom to God, even the Father, and when he have put down all rule and all authority and power." Now see, but every man in his order, that's becoming born again. Matter of fact, Passover is coming up, and you'll have first fruits, you'll have unleavened bread. All of these are types of what we're talking about right now. And so we are Christ. When he comes, we're his. And then there's, you know, when that end comes, he will take his kingdom, all of it, and he will deliver the kingdom up, and he's going to eventually give it to the Father, but he's going to first put down all rule and all authority and all power. "Because what he must do," Paul says, "for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." Now that's the very last one. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And all of that will be put into the lake of fire. "For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted which did put all things under him." That is, the Father put all things under the Lord Jesus Christ, Yahshua. And he gave him the authority and power to rule, to bring down all authority and power that opposed the rule of God. And it's all put under him, except that God the Father isn't put under him. In other words, the Son didn't come to usurp the Father. The Father and the Son are in each other. But yet they're two distinct. There's the Father and the Son. And 28 says, "And when all things shall be subdued unto him," in other words, when Christ has fully subdued everything, "then shall the Son," the one to whom all things are under him, says, it says, "then the Son shall also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all." So when it's all said and done, when we are in the kingdom, when you, the new heavenly Jerusalem is there, you got a new heavens and a new earth, an eternal everlasting kingdom. Satan and all the darkness and death and hell and everything is just along, it's over. and everything is peaceful and everything is put down, Christ will take all the kingdom and put it under God. So God our Father, will be all in all. He will be over all and in all, and the one who is our Heavenly Father. And he will do that. The Son will subject himself unto the Father, which he's already done anyway, but he's going to give it back. This is the obedience of Christ. And this is some of the stuff that you're not going to find this kind of doctrine, this talking, except out of Paul. Paul was very, very deep in a lot of the revelation that was given to him. And verse 15 of that, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That is really where this is at. This really should make you excited. This is just tremendous, tremendous revelation. This is just, you just think, wow. This is really tremendous. I mean, can you imagine living in a kingdom like that? Can you imagine that next time you and I, when this happens, all this won't even be here. We'll be in our glorified bodies. And we don't even have the full scope of what it's going to be like. But there's not going to be death and hell. You're not going to get cold. And you will know just as you were known yourself. You will know people. It'll be a wonderful time. And all this will be gone. And it's hard to imagine, what's he going to do with all of the planets? Well, he's going to remake everything, but just think of this. You're not going to need a plane anymore. And you're not going to have to worry, because you will know, because in the spirit you know these things. And I've written some on this, but this is true. When you get into the spirit, when you get, like for instance, when you are before the throne of God, nothing is hidden. Nothing. There are no secrets. When you get before that throne of God for judgment, every sin is known automatically. Everybody knows it. Everybody knows what you did. Nothing is hidden. Nothing. And he won't have to confess it, because everybody will already know it, and God too. That's what the Spirit is like. And it's hard to think on this. But just think of this. In this new kingdom, you're living over somewhere in the Midwest, on a former place that was North America. Of course, we don't really know what the final kingdom is going to be. We know there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth, but we don't know. There is some belief here that the planet will not have all the water on it, and that it'll be lush and green and perfect. And there will be animals. I believe the animals will be able to talk. I believe you'll be able to understand exactly what they're saying and who they are. I believe that you will be able to, if you want to go across the universe, all you have to do is think about it. I want to go there. You'll be there. I think there's going to be so many things that you don't understand. We know from the Lord and his own body what all he did when he was here. When he came back and he appeared after the resurrection, he could materialize instantly, he could disappear instantly, he could appear and people not recognize him, he could go through doors, he could still eat. And he told doubting Thomas, he says, touch me, feel that I'm real, I'm not a spirit, I've got bones and flesh, but yet he could go through wall. Think on this. This is the glorified body, folks. So lift up your sights. Don't be discouraged. Think. Revelation is not about just all the judgments. It is about the unveiling, the revealing of the kingdom of God, which had been prophesied from the beginning. His kingdom. He's going to bring in eternal righteousness, and he's going to bring his saints, those who followed him, with him. Period. Father, we thank you for your word, for watching over us, and for your many blessings. Father, I ask that you'd bless your people. Feed them, comfort them, strengthen them in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming of this word in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Tower.
Okay. Well, we sure have a lot of things to look forward to.
We do. A lot. I like thinking about, you know, like if I'm on Earth and they happen to keep the Tetons around, but they're perfect, and you have all this stuff, and I'm sitting here one day in my garden in that heavenly place, and I'm growing perfect vegetables. There's no need. The soil is perfect. The water's perfect. You never sweat. You're perfect in everything is perfect. You know, there's not bugs, there's not bad things, everything is perfect. And so I'm there and say, well, you know, I haven't been to Venus for a while, and boom, there you are, you're in Venus.
I don't know about that.
You know, I mean, it's perfect too. It's another kingdom, and it's beautiful up there too, not the way it was.
But I think that we can't even rightly imagine how glorious eternity will be with the Lord.
Well, I think that's true, you know. I mean, and he may not even have planets. It may be just one long
Earth
and whatever, you know. It'll just go on forever. There's no ending. You know, it's just perfection. I mean, who can imagine this? I can't. It's just hard to believe. But we need to lift up our sights.
That's true.
So, at any rate, we're going to have to get out of here.
Well, be sure to join us tomorrow night for Sound the Shofar on part two of Spring Feast Passover, Lamb of God Fulfilled. Good night, everybody. Thank you for joining us. We love you. We pray for you. We hope all is well. God bless you.
Yes. Good night. Shalom, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warn Radio.